Hey, this is Dave Burgess, and you are listening to The Dave Burgess Show, where we talk education, lifestyle, entrepreneurship, fitness, wellness, principles of success, interview elite performers in their field, and most importantly, cover topics that will empower, inspire, and uplift you. Let's go. Welcome to episode 35 of the Dave Burgess Show, the one that almost didn't exist, the one I did not want to record, the one I did not want to come up into this office and press play, the one I've been putting off, I've been procrastinating on, didn't do it Friday, didn't do it Saturday, was convinced I was going to do it like normal on Sunday, didn't do it on Sunday, and now it's Monday and I'm getting it out just in time. Why? Because I said I was going to. I didn't tell you. I told myself at the beginning of 2023, I said I was going to do a podcast and put it out every single week of the year. And I was going to develop some consistency with the Dave Burgess Show. And that's what I'm trying to do. So I don't want to be here right now, but I am happy to join you because I'm living up to a commitment and I'm proud of that. And so, well, now see, the problem with me telling you that is now I'm really on the hook for the rest of the whole year. I probably shouldn't have put that into the episode. Yeah. So it's easy to lose consistency. This is something, the Dave Burgess Show is a perfect example of that. So in the amount of times that it took me to do episodes 1 through 34, I've had several very long gaps. Some of the gaps were a couple of weeks. Some of them were a couple of months. Some of them were up to like half a year, like 6 months in between episodes. And I was always frustrated at my lack of consistency. And that frustration was personal. It was with me. But now I'm trying to get better about that. So not living up to your personal commitments. And often it starts small, but it begins to erode your confidence. It starts to expand. It grows into even unrelated areas. And next thing you know, you're starting to not live up to your commitments in lots of spaces. I think about this with, for example, my health. So when I'm happy with my fitness routine and when I'm on track with my fitness routine, I'm much more likely to eat better too. And if I'm on track with my fitness routine and I'm eating better, I'm more likely to think about what time I'm going to sleep and how much sleep I'm getting. And it starts to spiral in a positive direction. But the same thing happens in reverse. It's the days like where I don't go out and do the run that I was supposed to do on that day. I'm more likely to slip up with what I eat at dinner, have too much dessert, whatever. It's like spirals in a negative direction. It's really weird how it happens like that, but it absolutely does. And so this commitment and this consistency is so essential and critical to being a creator in the world today. And Seth Godin, obviously I'm a huge fan. He told this story about Esther Dyson. Esther Dyson is a philanthropist, journalist, heavy in the technology space, and this incredibly busy woman, highly successful, unbelievably busy, unbelievable people pulling on her time all the time. And she swims for like an hour every single morning, not some mornings, every single morning she swims. Well, she was asked about this and they asked her like, how do you fit, you're so busy, how do you fit swimming into your schedule? And her answer was super revealing. She said that it was the wrong question. It's not how do I fit swimming into my schedule. I'm committed to swimming. I swim every day. Every day I'm going to swim. That goes in first. And now the question is, how do I fit all the rest of the stuff around it? And that kind of is, it's a paradigm shift at how you look at your priorities and how you look at your life. She's committed to swimming. She's going to do that. That's in pin on the calendar, right? Now let's talk about how we're fitting the rest in. And so that is a super powerful way to think about the world around us. And I heard that story from Seth Godin, and he's a perfect example too. So Seth has blogged every single day. I want to say it's up to 13 or 14 years now, over 7,000 consecutive blog posts or something like that. I think it's more now, over 7,000 consecutive. He hasn't missed a day. And his point with this is that it completely transformed his thinking. He doesn't get up and think about, am I going to blog today? It's changed the question. Now the question is, what am I going to say? What am I going to write about? So it's transformed from am I going to do this to what am I going to do? And that's changed everything, right? And so these commitments, and then having that that integrity to live up to those commitments, is a powerful force. Now, I was recently reminded of a book that I loved a long time ago, which I need to find and I need to reread. And it's called Accidental Genius by Mark Levy. And in this book, he talks about that one of the best ways to get new ideas, one of the best ways to become prolific, one of the best ways to get insight and to develop new content is this process of free writing, where you just commit to get your pen onto the paper and you write as much as you can, as fast as you can, and you don't worry about going off on tangents. You don't worry about editing. You don't worry about spelling. You don't worry about punctuation. You're just writing and just getting your thoughts out as quickly as fast as you can. And if it goes off topic, that's perfectly fine. Maybe if it's even better, maybe the topic that you go off on will be even better than the one that you originally started on. And you just release all of these inhibitions that we have about creating good work, and you just create work. And then as you go back through that work, you're going to find little nuggets and things that you want to expand on and things that you want to take and develop further, or it's going to develop, or it's going to give you new ideas and new paths to go down. But if you are working from a blank page, you can't do that. And so it's he uses free writing as like a form of brainstorming, where then when you brainstorm, then you're going to be able to create all sorts of things and all sorts of new directions. And in my creativity workshop, I use a quote from Linus Pauling. And the quote is, the best way to get a good idea is to get a lot of ideas. It's so true. It sounds like that's kind of like shallow and simplistic, right? But it's super deep. And I always share in my workshops, I always say, like, hey, I can guarantee you I've had more bad ideas than anybody sitting in this room. I can guarantee you I've had more disasters in my classroom than anyone sitting here. I'm not talking about lessons that weren't engaging. I've had a lot of those too. I'm talking disasters. Like, I have been injured during lessons. I've had students injured during lessons. I've had to sit in my principal's office and explain why I thought it was a good idea to have an open propane tank flame raging in the classroom. Well, now to me, it made perfect sense that when we were telling those mountain man tall tales written collaboratively using mountain man slang, it was going to be way more engaging if we told them around a campfire roasting marshmallows. Well, not everybody on my campus saw it that way. And to be honest, I probably should have known it was a problem first period when I had to have a kid standing on a chair with a folder up by the smoke, waving his arms up by the smoke alarm to clear the smoke, right? Well, I accepted the quotes feedback from my administration, and I still continue to do that lesson, but I just moved it into a dirt overflow parking lot area where nothing could catch fire and usually wait till the principal was at a conference. But anyway, so the point is very simple, is that if you are willing to allow yourself to have lots of ideas and you don't let that internal editor shut you down, you're willing to be prolific rather than perfect. Be prolific rather than perfect. Perfectionism limits your creativity. Perfectionism will stop you in your place. Same thing is true of students. Lots of students get stopped by perfectionism. They don't want to do something because they think they're making a mistake. They don't want to make a mistake. Nathan Oliveira, who's an artist, put it this way. All art is a series of recoveries from the first line. The hardest part is to put down the first line. Okay. Now, by the way, in the Accidental Genius and the free writing techniques of Mark Levy, he talks about the fact that if you don't know what to write about, maybe that's what you should write about. And this is something that it works with students too. And so, like, I've had a student come up to me and speak for basically 5 consecutive minutes without hardly taking a breath about how they don't have any ideas about this, or about what they could do their report on, or what they could study, or, you know, I don't know what my real thoughts on this are, because on one point there's this, this, and this, but on the other side of it, there's this, that, and they go into this like 5-minute speech, and I'll be like, well, why don't you just write all that down? That was pretty amazing. Like if you can articulate something, if you can speak and articulate something in, through speech, you can write because you just write down what you were saying. That's where you start. Or maybe you start with, like, let's say you have to do a 10-minute free write. And by the way, Mark Levy does recommend timing the free writes, and which is kind of counterintuitive, right? So let's say you have to do a 10-minute free write and you don't know what to write about. Well, then the advice would be this. Clock starts. You say, I have no idea what I'm going to write about right now. I'm trying to just write down as ideas as they come to me, but nothing has come to me. I'm completely blank right now. I mean, I'm tired. I didn't get much sleep last night. You know, I was up late and I was just still spinning about that news I got from the dentist appointment I have. And you start writing. And pretty soon, like if you don't know what to write about not knowing what to write. Now you have something to write about. And it unlocks. It takes you out of your head and it unlocks that subconscious that begins as you begin to go through that flow, that stream of consciousness. You will find those nuggets and those areas that eventually you'll be able to expand upon. That's why journaling is such a powerful technique for so many people, is it allows them to get all these things out of their head and empty them out onto paper. And in the process of doing that, it can be almost like a therapy appointment in a sense. And you go back and you see what was really in there as your subconscious was letting all this stuff out. You start to go back and see some of these things that you can pick up on and explore further, ponder on, reflect upon, and it could be a powerful thing. And so not knowing what I wanted to do my podcast on was holding me back. But so here's the thing, and this goes to something that Seth Godin said as well, which I think is powerful. What he says is that it's not that we don't have ideas. Lots of people say, oh, I don't have any ideas. Well, everybody's got ideas. The problem is not that you don't have ideas. What you're really saying is you're afraid of your bad ideas. You're afraid maybe that your ideas aren't good enough. Like I can go on a walk for an hour. I can come up with 20 ideas for a podcast. That's not the problem. The problem is I don't think any of them are good enough. Right? And so that's the issue. And so allowing yourself again to be prolific, allowing yourself to just create without putting that weight of expectation upon how good it is on yourself, allows you then to find some of the diamonds that will be shining through in a bunch of other stuff, which I don't, we won't name what we would call it, but we're searching for those diamonds, for those nuggets, right? And so to kind of put this all in perspective at the end, there's lots of things that hold us back. Stephen Pressfield wrote a book called The War of Art. If you are a creator, if you're a writer, content creator of any type, if you haven't read The War of Art, highly recommended. It might be a little bit, maybe possibly a little woo-woo for some of you, but it's got some real strong elements in there. And he talks about something called the resistance. And the resistance is so tricky because the resistance comes in all sorts of forms. And it's all the things that work against us from shipping our creative work and putting it out into the world. And he just calls them out and he calls you out as a creator, called me out as a creator, and basically blowing out of the water all the excuses we make that we think are quite, we think that, you know, the resistance is very smart. It's a genius. The resistance is genius at the different ways that it can stop us from doing our work. Stephen King put it this way. Amateurs sit and wait for inspiration. The rest of us get up and go to work. So waiting for inspiration is a recipe for unwritten books, projects never completed, goals unachieved, companies never started, ideas never shared, and ultimately unfulfilled dreams. Get up and go to work.
Thank you so much for listening to The Dave Burgess Show. Let's connect. I am at Burgess Dave on Twitter. My name just flipped around to Burgess Dave. On Instagram, I am DBC_INC, and I blog at DaveBurgess.com. Please share your thoughts and comments on social media using the hashtag Dave Burgess Show. It would mean the world to me if you share the show with friends and colleagues, and I would be honored if you left a positive review on whatever platform you listen on. Hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And if you have a question, a topic, or a guest recommendation for the show, just email me at dave@daveburgess.com, put podcast question in the subject line, and I absolutely cannot wait to join you on the next episode.